listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Thursday, 27th day of June, 2019. And as promised, sitting comfortably in his living room, I do believe he is out there in Illinois, is it? I do believe.
Yes, it's a suburb of Chicago. It's called Highland Park.
Sheldon Drobny, you were the guy I often wondered whose thought it was to start a company by the name of Air America. That was a more progressive or a liberal radio network, and I find out you're the guy.
Well, it wasn't just me. I got to give my wife credit. I was a venture capitalist, and, you know, before when the right wing started its talk shows on radios, they felt they wanted to get a voice into the mainstream media, and they did it successfully. So I thought it would be a good idea to get the opposite side a voice into the media. It was reasonably successful, though not as successful as Rush Limbaugh and the other people and yourself. But it was a start of at least some opposite thinking, not necessarily who's right or wrong, but opposite thinking into the ideas that we all talk about in politics. So that's why I wanted to see some balance in the radio. Although radio was still dominated very much by right-wing talk show hosts.
Well,
and it's good or bad, it just is.
Yeah. Well, so, and I understand reading some of the background here on the goings-on, if you will, at Air America, that actually had been sold to a limited partnership group, and you and Anita weren't actually owners of it, but then you went back in to try to buy it. Is that correct?
Yes. You know, we had a bunch of rich liberals that don't represent what the common people believe, that decided they could do a radio network. We had all the talent, we had all the management, we had all the things that were necessary to run a radio network. But these rich cats, I call them limousine liberals, put up a lot of money, bought us out, and wrecked it, actually. And we're just talking about the success of a radio program. I don't care whether it's right-wing or left-wing. The idea of a good radio program is to have good talent, entertaining talent, interesting subjects, which is something the Democrats didn't have. They were boring as hell. The NPR group. So we hired Al Franken, who was a comedian, as you know, who was very funny. And he became pretty famous. Unfortunately, after he became senator, you know what happened to him.
Right.
But, you know, Rachel Maddow was one of our people, and she's pretty successful on
MSNBC, yeah.
Yeah. And we had a guy by the name of Mark Maron, who is a good comedian. So, you know, even though the network itself did not succeed, the parts of the network, which were the talk show hosts, they did succeed. They did well. So they didn't need a network to go out there and get their own talk shows over several different radio networks, radio stations. And that part of the of Air America, it created a seeding ground for good talk show hosts. You know, whether you agree with them or not, they were very entertaining, they were good, and they ended up continuing, and to this day, there are, you know, 50, 75, 100 stations in the country that carry that format. So there is a voice, and then, you know, of course, the ones on television were very good. You know, whether you agree with these people or not, they're entertaining. They really know how to tell a story.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh is entertaining as they get. We studied his history, and he is an interesting character who actually saved AM radio. You know, AM radio was going down the tubes, because music was now being used on FM radio, and the only way to save AM radio, because the music wasn't fit for AM radio, was to do talk radio.
Yeah, and I'm old enough, Sheldon, that I can remember the emergence of FM. They didn't quite know what to do with it.
Right.
But it was a great format for music.
Right.
They discovered that, because with AM you get drift and interference and all this other stuff. FM was line of sight broadcasting, and if you were in that line of sight, depending on the height of the tower and the wattage they were putting out, wow, that was a great format for music. And I can remember FM was pretty much underground when it really first started. Stations out of Toledo, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, they would go a half hour, an hour. Sometimes the DJ would come in with his girlfriend and just play entire albums back to back with no interruptions.
They were famous for no commercials.
Yeah.
And then they tried, as you probably know, to do stereo AM radio, which was a major failure.
It was.
And, so
that's like putting a mink coat on a cockroach.
Right.
Yeah.
The licenses became worthless until Rush Limbaugh saved it for everybody.
Do you know where Rush Limbaugh, you did your background on Rush Limbaugh, do you know where Rush Limbaugh originally broadcast?
I do, but I can't remember.
It was actually, is that Anita in the background?
Yeah.
Hello, Anita.
Hi there.
He actually was broadcasting on shortwave radio.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Rush Limbaugh with his EIV network, he wanted to do it. And you're essentially correct about the AM radio stations. They really didn't have anything. So
correct.
Here comes Rush Limbaugh promoting a three-hour politically-based program, and people are going, what? We're not going to carry that. So
all
he
right.
did something very, very smart. He didn't go to the 50 kW, the 25 kW stations in the major markets. What he did is went to the 1 in 5,000, 10,000 watt stations and said, look, you guys are trying to compete. Give me a shot. And that's actually how they saw, once he was on these major markets on the smaller stations, they saw what a good job he did. And then guess who came knocking? It was the bigger boys.
Yeah. He got all the 50,000 watt stations.
Yeah.
By the time we got in there,
yeah.
And so there weren't many left. As a matter of fact, we had to sell for, you know, below 50,000 watts and coverage areas, which were limited. But nevertheless, he got there first, and they all came in and, you know, bought his concept. And I think to this day, most of the 50,000 watt stations cover him and many other, you know, right wing broadcasters. So,
now we have Mr. Drobny. Now we got the split and division. Rush Limbaugh, Republic versus Democrat. I don't think there's a Republican that he thinks is a bad guy. And I look at the scenario in politics. I call them the asshats in Washington, D.C., or the Congress critters. I consider them to be the different side of the same coin. It doesn't Right. matter who's president, whether it be Democrat, Republican, or whatever the case may be. What I see is the underlying agendas that continue to run.
Right,
and,
right.
And my background, you don't know me personally, and you and I just met yesterday, but my background and the seeds that were planted in my mind happened right around the JFK assassination. I was in Mrs. Hartung's class, fifth grade, and here comes the announcement. Mr. Druckenmiller, the principal, comes over. The president of the United States has been killed in Dallas. I never forgot that day, and then for 3 days running, of course, we had the funeral, we had all of this, and for 2 days it was nonstop commercial-free. On the third day, still covering it, they no networks run without money, so they had to plop the commercial spots in the third day. But that piqued my interest.
A murder on live TV. Ruby kill.
Which is his real name was Jack Rubenstein. I don't know if you were aware of that.
I knew him. He lived in the same neighborhood in Chicago.
Seriously.
He was a bookie, and he was there was a place called the Lawndale Pool Room in which he hung out and did his bookmaking. He was always part of the mob scene, and we kind of laughed at him, you know. And so when we saw him emerge in the Dallas police station, being allowed to go in there without any people stopping him, because Dallas was famous as well as Chicago for a corrupt police department.
Right.
And so my father and I, well, my father knew him because he was more of his age, but my father laughed his ass off, excuse my French. Saying, what, he's no patriot.
Yeah, no kidding. And the funny thing about this is the JFK assassination. I spoke to Marina Oswald face-to-face years ago. And, of course, the number one burning question I had to ask of her, I said, did your husband, Lee Harvey, shoot Kennedy? And she looked at me and she said, no, he did not. And I said, so why are you still walking and talking here? Well, the CIA debriefed me many times. They told me, you keep your mouth shut, you're allowed to stay in America. If you don't, the best case scenario is you'll be deported. The worst case scenario, and they let that trail off and use her imagination. Basically, they were saying they were going to kill her if they went to the contrary. But
I was 18 at the time, and it was the worst day of my life, that assassination.
Well, and you know the funny thing about this? I see a strange parallel between, and I'm getting off subject. I was coming to a point here with all of this, but just as a side here, I see a lot of similar things with JFK as a Democrat and Donald Trump as a Republican. I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, he's got a lot of enemies out there. He's trying to make some changes. And he's getting a lot of resistance from behind, even his own party. Jumping back here, let me finish my point here, Sheldon, about the JFK days. That kind of got me interested in TV, the news. I felt I was a little uninformed because I didn't even know that much about JFK. What did I know when I was 10, 11 years old? But I started watching the evening news. And at that time, we only had three television networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC. We didn't have satellite, we didn't have cable, we didn't have anything but those three networks. And at 6:30 Eastern time every night, there was the evening news for a half hour. And I started to scan those three channels. What I discovered was they were practically doing the exact same news stories at the exact same time. Now, I filed that way being a 10, 11-year-old for future reference. And is the information being controlled, or is it being restricted? Is it being convoluted, or is it just being a script that somebody is handing them? Here, read this. Which later on in life, what I did was I started a radio network. Now, I understand with you, with Air America, that you wanted to give, say, the other side of the story. That's a laudable clause. I admire that for doing that. But Mr. Cohen and his group came in, bought you out, And what, in your opinion, what did they do to Air America?
Well, you know, first of all, Mr. Cohn was a criminal, okay? And he showed himself as being a philanthropist who was very rich, and that was all false. And he was introduced as a wealthy man who wanted to do some good for liberal talk radio. It was just the opposite. He was a corrupt person, you know, and sometimes when you're in need of money, you're going to meet some people, unbeknownst to you, that are corrupt. And, you know, unfortunately, his experience with Air America was not at all genuine, and he left us with, you know, a shambles. Yeah. And then we came back in, put some more money in, and got it rolling for about another 4 or 5 years. And then, as I said, the money that came in after me was from what I call the limousine liberals, who wanted power and control but didn't know a damn thing about, you know, broadcast.
Right.
Because we studied broadcast, and we studied how Rush Limbaugh had become successful, and we used that model, to try to get Air America to be syndicated throughout, you know, stations that didn't have Rush Limbaugh and didn't have any programming that was worthwhile. Now, we got a number of stations we only got one 50,000 watt station, but we got some 20,000s.
Yeah.
And, so we our business model was good, except that the way they ran things, and I went crazy over it. They spent money like crazy.
Right.
They had an office on Fifth Avenue that my feeling was that you could do a radio network out of a small office.
Yeah, but you can't have a big limousine pulling up in front of a shack. I mean, come on.
And their idea was to put together their headcount there was like 200, and I thought to myself, and I'm a CPA and I've advised businesses, and I said, geez. Yeah. Something's wrong here.
You wrote Breaking the Myths of U.S. History, The Road to Donald Trump. That was a paperback that came out back in 2018. And you talk about the recession of 2008-2009. Well, being a CPA and being a numbers cruncher, I hope that's not insulting, but crunching numbers, I looked at the mortgage-backed securities, what the investment banks now were allowed to get involved with, and I watched this massive debt being rolled up. Well,
yeah.
The system collapsed, but did you ever hear a figure of the debt that they actually created over that little banking emergency or banking scam?
Well, the book you referred to before, The Road to Donald Trump, I pulled off the market because, I just didn't like it.
Okay.
It was a self-published book from Kindle. So I revised it, and I changed it to The Dark Side of American History, because it wasn't about Donald Trump. When I said Road to Donald Trump, it was how did we get from 1776 to here? It just didn't happen yesterday. And what I concluded is that in Trump's case, there is a deep state. There's no doubt about it in my mind. There is a deep state that evolved over 230 years, and we're stuck in it now. We can't get out of it. It doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or a Republican.
Well, let me get back to Chella. I'm sorry. Let me. We have limited time. I wanted to get back to the 2008-2009, as you put it, recession. But did you ever hear a figure of how much debt that was rung up over the mortgage-backed securities, the insurances they sold against the failures of it? Did you ever hear a figure?
No. I only heard a figure afterwards Because, you know, I was aware of mortgages being written.
Right.
Anybody. Okay. Right.
Okay, hold on. I don't think you can hear the bumper music. Sheldon, hang on a second. I got to take a 3-minute break for the network. We will be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Somebody's always watching you. Sheldon, what I was going to say prior to break is I had a chance meeting with a manager that was down from New York City, Chase Bank, and I met him in September of 2009, a year after this collapse took place. And I had already amassed the investigation and the facts as to what the debt really was that was rung up. And I told him, I said, once I discovered who he was and what he was doing down here in Austin, Texas, I told him who I was, what I did. I promised him anonymity. I wasn't going to divulge what bank or his name, which I haven't to this day. And I told him, I said, my sources have told me that the debt that was rung up by these banks getting in the commercial markets and then just blowing out the real estate market was between $1 and $1.4 quadrillion.
Wow.
The man looked down at his shoes and he looked up at me and looked me in the eye and he just simply nodded. And he said at that time, he said on Wall Street there was two pools, they had two betting pools. One that the economy was going to collapse in October, or one group was saying it was going to collapse in November. But we all know what happened. We had the bailout of the banks because they were just too big to fail.
Right.
These people, nobody has ever been charged, Sheldon. Nobody has ever gone to court. Nobody has ever been sentenced or gone to jail over the biggest ripoff that human history has ever seen.
That was a terrible mistake. I'm very disappointed with Obama and his attorney general, who actually was backed by investment bankers to a great extent.
Right.
Excuse me.
Interesting phone ring you have there.
Yeah.
By the way, I feel like a little bit of a voyeur here because I'm sitting here looking at you in the broadcast from the broadcast room into the engineering room, and I'm sitting here watching you sitting on your couch, and I almost feel like a voyeur.
Well, it's okay. There's something special here.
Okay. All right. Okay.
We have aged, I think, very nicely, but. Yeah, we're at a time of our life where we're just kind of just trying to enjoy and take things day by day. But still, I want to participate in the process and share my ideas and views. That's why I wrote this book after like 14 years when I wrote my first book. But this time, I just wanted to have a history book for Americans so they could know the truth about what has happened as opposed to the spin and lies that are being told every day by the mainstream media and the newspapers. I always had this problem with the New York Times, all the news that's fit to print.
Right.
That's because they decide what's fit to print.
That's exactly right.
And they ignore a lot of things. So, you know, I'm not a friend of the mainstream media. I've been against them. I mean, I don't go as far as saying that the enemy is the media, but the reality is the enemy is the media because they don't publish things, truthful things about what's going on in this country and what happened before, you know, in our history that would verify and validate the fact that what we've come to today is a mess.
Let me back up on this a little bit because I want to fit this kind of in a timeline as to what happened to America, and you know, your contention here with the dark side of American history breaking the myths of U.S. history.
All right, go ahead.
But at any rate, boy, that was loud. You got a good microphone on that computer.
Yeah, we, usually at this time of day, people don't call us, but what are you going to do?
Well, maybe they're hearing you on air right now. At any rate, I'm in full agreement with you there, maybe for varying reasons, but it sounds to me, Sheldon, that, you know, come hell or high water, you wanted to do a network to dig in and find out what the real story is, or the other side story.
Right. It was not in my mind, it wasn't liberal. It was truthfulness. And believe me, there are a lot of Democrats and liberals who didn't agree with me about things that had happened to us and decisions that were made by our leaders that really had terrible consequences. And it goes back to the writing of the Constitution, the period of time where pre-Civil War, where we had, you know, the compromises that were worthless. And then, you know, I actually write in there that the Civil War itself could have been avoided. And I do a comparison. In England, they had slavery, and they had plantations, but they paid the plantation owners reparations to move from slavery and support their businesses so that they could go into regular workers. And England had slavery without a work. Okay?
All right, I'm sorry, Sheldon. I'm hearing the bottom of the hour break. This is a 3-minute break, and I'm going to skip the other break in the last half hour of this first hour. So we will have uninterrupted for about 27 minutes coming back out of this break.
Okay.
So stand by. I'm the owner. I can do that. I can skip a break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend
your life with Extendivite. We are back. We're talking today with Sheldon Drobny, the founder of Air America. His latest book, The Dark Side of American History, Breaking the Myths of U.S. History. And this is the genesis of the problems facing America, suggesting the mistakes made by our government leaders have more to do with human frailty than political philosophy. And before break, you were bringing up the Civil War and the slavery issue. I've often said this, Sheldon, that in this country, slavery would have died its own death because it wasn't practical. There was cotton picking going on. Well, we also had Eli Whitney that come out with a cotton gin that made the cotton pickers, superseded by technology, if you will. And there were black slave owners as well. And right. And this issue about the Civil War and the basis of it, the history today teaches us, well, this was about slavery. Yeah, it was, but it was also about states' rights.
It was more about slave states and the right to be a slave state than slavery, because when Lincoln was elected, he said he would allow those slave states to stay, in his administration. So he wasn't going to eliminate slavery. That happened because of some bad decisions, aggressive decisions that involved military intervention. You know, once you get into military stuff, it's got a life of its own.
Boy, I was going to mention on today's show, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook, where conservative voices are being deplatformed. Well, I was actually debanked by Chase Bank after an account, business account for 10 years. Reason given? Their response is, we don't have to give you one.
Oh, well, I had my problems with Chase Bank, but it would take the rest of your show because I successfully sued them. They took over a mortgage that we had at Washington Mutual, and they paid 10 cents on the dollar. Uh-huh. You know, so their incentive was to foreclose.
Right.
You know? And they wouldn't allow us, and we were entitled to new legislation that allowed a mortgage adjustment, and they just wouldn't allow it. And then I found out that they robo-signed transferring the mortgage from what?
Which made it what? An illegal contract.
Right. Okay. It was the same name.
Sheldon, I find myself, I was ready to confront a flaming socialist, liberal, communist, whatever, and I find myself really starting to like you.
Well, I like to attack corruption. So what happened was, when I found that they robo-signed, because there was proof positive, the same name appeared on 300,000 mortgage transfers. It was the name that was on my transfer. The bottom line is, I sued them for RICO.
Right.
And we ended up settling. They gave me a nice settlement because they wanted to stay away from it big time. I got some big money. And they gave me a mortgage modification that was 2% over 40 years, okay? And that was the end of that.
Okay, so with the settlement, you could have turned around and bought the mortgage outright. You could have bought it back, right?
Right,
okay. Okay, gotcha.
Okay, but, you know, not many people have the ability to fight them, okay? I have experience in courtrooms, and, you know, I am admitted to practice for the tax court, so I know how to write motions and complaints and whatever, and I didn't even have to hire an attorney. You know, to fight these people, you have to spend thousands of dollars, right. So most people say they throw in the towel and they say it ain't worth it. But I did, you know, I was happy I did it. But I was unhappy that there were no consequences to Jamie Dimon and his thugs, you know, at Chase Bank. He's still around. He should be in jail.
He should be. And Obama, what did Obama make Jamie Dimon?
I don't know. He's
he put him in charge of the financial... basically, he put him in there to do the quantitative easing. The government, if I remember my history here, the government is not a business to make a profit.
Right.
They just distribute taxation money and so on and so forth that they receive, disperse it for, you know, military, social programs, you know, you name it. But something happened on the way to the Roman Forum here. This quantitative easing is what actually stopped the collapse of the banking system, not only in this country and some of its corporations, but also banks worldwide.
Right.
And you know, I'm looking at this, and I was incensed because, as I said, the people have never been told the number that these clowns got us into, the debt number. And guess what? The juice is running on that. Interest is running on that bailout money that that these banks received. So
yeah.
we witnessed the greatest ripoff in human history, and then we pay for this with our own taxation. CPA, this had to make some blood vessels burst in your head.
Socialism is a big topic right now.
It is.
But corporate socialism is the worst, okay? I mean,
you don't like AOC and her Green Deal?
Well, you know, she's an interesting character. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, 29-year-old bartender that was recruited like they recruit game show host.
Yeah. She's trying to make her mark. She's one of 465 congresspeople, and their chances of making any big mark is slim and none.
Yeah. Well, and back to the money issue, you know, our Constitution states that Congress shall have the absolute right to set weights and measures. In other words, give silver and gold its numeric value. Well, we all know what Tricky Dick, I am not a crook, I beg to differ, sir. In 1971, Nixon closed the gold window, and that's when we got introduced to the new concept of credit. Here, we'll give you a plastic card and an identifying number, and you can charge, and we'll charge you interest. I'm looking at this, and all I saw was debt continually incline and increase, and we're choking, Sheldon, on debt. And it's all carrying the interest of the juice money, and there's no way out of this.
And the Chinese hold the majority of our debt, which is troubling enough as it is. But, you know, this, you know, at the end of Clinton's administration, you know, whether you like him or not, we had a balanced budget. And as a matter of fact, we had very little debt at that time, because, you know, we had all of these dot-com companies and people paying lots of capital gains tax. So we were at a point where people, if financial people were saying, gee, it's not healthy to have no debt.
Yeah.
But that all changed in 2001 when, you know, we started to engage in all these wars that accumulated debt, you know, to the extent of, I don't know if it's even, no, it's trillions of dollars.
It is.
And, you know, these wars that we have engaged in, we've gotten screwed on every one of them. I mean, you know, what our initial goals were and all the costs and loss of life turned out to be major failures. But that's been our history. You know, even before 2000, we entered into wars that put us into not only a terrible position in the world, but also cost us dearly in terms of debt. You know, the Vietnam War went on for, what, 15 years, and mm-hmm. What did we get out of it? We got a lot of debt.
Well, the French were smart enough to throw up their hands and walk out.
Right.
Lyndon Baines Johnson, after Kennedy's death, and I use that term very lightly, the murder of John F. Kennedy, by the way, as a side note, John F. Kennedy, the interesting fellow, he was big on the United Nations, but we learned some things about John F. Kennedy that might have gotten that guy killed. Number one, the OSS from World War II was transformed into the CIA.
Dangerous.
And yes, very. And he made the public utterance that he wanted to break them up in 1,000 pieces and spread them to the wind. He also did something else. He saw the power of the bankers and what he did, and this is almost unbelievable to talk about this. The total national debt in 1961 was some $5 billion. So what he did was he did an executive order, called up the U.S. Treasury and said, okay, I want you to make one change, not on the plates of the bills that we're printing here, but just the seal itself and the Treasury Secretary's signature. I want those in red. This is to be distributed, put into circulation, and it's to bear no interest. So what he basically did was create a currency that competed with the Federal Reserve. And I give you the dead guy on November 22nd, 1963 in Dealey Plaza.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's no question that he made a lot of enemies. And, you know, the whole situation, I still believe there was a conspiracy there, okay? Nobody's going to talk me out of it, because the route that they took in front of the bookstore, book depository, was the slowest possible route. And then, you know, I thought to myself, you know, Oswald, if he's an assassin, why does he leave the rifle there
Amanda Carcano, that the best Deadeye shooters that they could come up with couldn't duplicate. And they called, there was a specific, I think it was Maggie's Drawers. They referred to somebody that really wasn't that good of a shot.
Right. Yeah. And an assassin, in my mind, takes the weapon. takes it apart, puts it back into his violin case, mm-hmm. and leaves. But for some reason, he wanted to leave the very weapon that they could trace to a catalog purchase in Chicago. None of this makes sense, okay? It just doesn't make sense at all, and it defies logic, and yet, it's so far from our times, it's a long time ago, that it gets buried. By the way, in the late 70s, Congress started to get into it again, and they concluded that they believed that there was a conspiracy and that the Warren report was not valid and so forth. But, here we are.
And would it shock you to the term conspiracy theory? Did you ever wonder where that came from?
Well, I've seen it and talked about it a lot, but I don't know where it came from.
Well, the CIA coined the term conspiracy theorist back in 1967. Specifically, in April of 67, the CIA itself wrote a dispatch which coined the term conspiracy theories and recommended methods for discrediting such theories. The dispatch was marked PSYCH, short for Psychological Operations or Disinformation. I mean, this came straight out of the CIA.
Of course, because the CIA was... They were a very dangerous creation in 1947, National Securities Act. And the OSS was honorable, but the CIA had one additional power that the OSS didn't have, which was to intervene in any other matters. That's the fourth purpose of the CIA. And that politicized the CIA into doing the work of what our government wanted to do, and especially internationally, to overthrow other governments that we didn't like.
I give you Iraq, 1979.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you look at the Middle East, at least where the lines are drawn now, that was due to our British friends and the forays into the Middle East before us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of like we're on the heels of the French once they left Vietnam, which was a total setup. LBJ, I wanted to mention this earlier, the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a damn lie.
Yeah, absolutely.
It did not exist. They created, and I think it was the same day or the day after Kennedy was assassinated, he said, "I'll give you your damn war," and he did.
Yeah, one of the theories is that Kennedy wanted to get out of Vietnam.
He did.
That's what made the CIA mad at him. And Johnson, obviously took that and reversed it and got more involved in the Vietnam War because I believe he was affected by the fact that if you can get killed for wanting to get out of Vietnam, it's better if I want to stay alive, to put more troops and do more things in Vietnam. So, but all these things that happened are blind to American people. Most American people don't know what the hell happened. I mean, we got from there to here, and it's because, not only because of the news media slanting the news and not telling the truth, but especially lately, there's just been a lack of interest to find out what's going on. People are unhappy, there's no doubt about it, but they don't know what to do.
Well... And how do you make sound decisions based on lies?
Right.
Yeah.
So, everybody makes a contribution and they try to put a little extra drop in the bucket of knowledge. And I don't think this book is going to change the world. I'm not that egotistical. But it's one thing I wanted to share with the American people, which I have validated every single argument in there. I have footnotes, I have validation, and that the things that may sound to be really crazy and unbelievable are actually true. and have been validated, like the things I was talking about.
You have me at a disadvantage. You not only, well, you read the book. I mean, you wrote the book. I have not read the book yet.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, like I said, it's just an interesting uncovering of stuff that, and decisions that were made that had long-term effects and really created the mess and the deep state and the inability to get out of it, okay? Anybody, you know, whether it's a president or a senator, a president goes into office and he's trapped. He's just trapped. He doesn't have any real ability to get out of the things that we have done and kept on precipitating. I was actually, during the primaries, I liked Trump because of the things he was saying.
Right.
He says, we got to get out of these wars.
Right.
We made a big mistake in Iraq. We shouldn't be involved in foreign entanglements, and we got to draw back. He was talking about America coming home. But I don't think he could have done it anyway, because even though he said it, he was thrown in a situation where the deep state guided him. There's no choice. He had no real choices as to how to go forward and do things. I don't think he's a man of one swore. You can see with what happened with Iran that he really did not want to create a situation that would get us into another foreign war.
Well, and if you look, and Sheldon, to digress here for a second, if you look the way George Bush, here was our skull and bones guy, if you go to their little crypt at the university there, it's emblazoned on the wall, war.
Right.
You know, the military-industrial complex that President Eisenhower was nice enough to tell the American people about, he was involved in the creation of that. So on his way out, he tells the American people, beware of the military-industrial complex. Well, the reason why he did that is because, well, he was part of it. And he was having second thoughts. But the point of it is that this was dumped on John F. Kennedy, the first Catholic was ever coronated for the office of the presidency. And they didn't quite know who he was or how he was going to react. Sound familiar? Donald J. Trump here? This guy, he was being watched very, very closely, and when he started making these utterances, we almost came to a nuclear confrontation with Russia,
right.
And after this little scenario, the CIA was not happy with him. There were many people that were watching very closely, and if you want to talk about the deep state, my opinion, it's the globalists with their fingers in the banking system that really pretty much controls all.
Yeah, and what Trump was advocating as being more friendly to Russia and Putin is something that I was advocating because, we screwed Russia in the 90s, okay? When the Soviet Union collapsed, we just let the whole system fall apart. And there was an opportunity for us to get in there and to bring democracy to Russia, and we just ignored it. And then we went back to our old ways of Russia's the enemy, and that's the old Cold War mantra that they have today, which really doesn't apply today, but they still use it to create this enemy,
yeah.
This straw person that they need to have. And I'm against that. I mean, I really think the thing I liked about Trump is he wanted to get along with Russia.
Well, and here, look, Sheldon, here's my take on Donald Trump, and it's pretty simple. Here was a multi-billionaire real estate guy. Here's a guy that did business for profit.
Right.
He saw the landscape in America. He was sickened by it. It was affecting him as well as everybody else in this country, the private individual, the business owner. It didn't matter. He looked at this scenario, and I always thought that his ego was big enough that, well, this is financial in nature. I can get the presidency, and I can fix a lot of this.
Right, right.
Other people said that he was a shoe-in, that he was hand-picked. so on and so forth. I don't believe any of that. I just thought that guy was, well, had an ego, says, I can do the job, gets the presidency. Then all of a sudden, what do we have here? We have 2 to almost 3 years of investigation by Bill Comey. This guy admits to voting for Gus Hall for president, the communist back in the 70s.
Who admitted to that? Comey?
Comey.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, it's true. It is absolutely true. And the guy that was the old FBI guy, help me out here. I'm having a blank moment here. The guy that picked up the ex-FBI guy that picked up the investigation here.
Not Mueller.
Mueller.
Oh, okay.
Mueller also publicly admitted that he was a communist back in the 70s. How in the hell? Now, I can understand with the FBI, because we go back to the roots of the FBI. The guy was a little weird. Mr. Hoover, he was a cross-dresser. He kept dossiers on everybody for blackmail. Bobby Kennedy hated his butt, and the feeling was mutual. Right. And, you know, of course, they had to do away with Bobby because he would have been elected president after his brother was killed. And, well, he knew where all the skeletons were.
Right. Well, they had to get rid of him, too, because, you know, he carried with him the negatives that his brother had. And, you know, I think, personally, I think the mafia was involved. And Robert Kennedy was the biggest advocate of destroying mob leaders, which, you know, it seems to me you want to stay away from that, especially at the time when the mob really had power, which it doesn't have anymore. But
well, they keep looking for that guy, that dead Teamsters guy. I suggest that they check one of the Kennedys' graves.
Nixon, I don't know if he commuted a sentence or whatever, but he let him out of prison, but he wasn't going to stay alive very long. So, you know, it was like, you know, it's really, the truth is actually much more exciting than fiction, if people know the truth. But if it's just a blur, you know, oh, this happened and that happened, they're all mutually exclusive, like, you know, there's a continuum here of corruption and, you know, terrible kinds of acts of murder and...
Now we're getting into that conspiracy realm.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, not everything... Well, well, not everything is a conspiracy, but most of it is. When you seek to hide facts, when you seek to obfuscate, when you seek to hide, and there is no transparency, we, the people, we're supposed to be the government. We elect these representatives to represent our interests, but this was supposed to be done along constitutional lines, and that has all been changed. Look,
right.
When we get back, I hear the bump here, when we get back, I want to discuss this little thing called democracy with you.
Okay.
And then get into other things that... I'm reading your own synopsis, by the way, on your book. And okay. I'm going to have to get a copy of your book because I think there's a certain amount of synergy here. You ever thought about doing your own radio show?
As a matter of fact, I am 31, hopefully here.
Really?
On the 21st. It's called The Cutting Edge.
Really?
We were doing it on our radio network when we had one. But... We had some good shows, the controversial shows, the shows about the truth.
Well, you know? and I am controversial in today's world. Look, I hear the bump. We'll be back. 2 minute top of the hour break, Sheldon. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.